Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom, and this is actually Straight Talk on Blog Talk, and we're going to go back and maybe try to use this a little bit more to enter into a conversation about the kingdom, and we're going to give you a straight talk on that. I've been up for a long time, have to check sheep. It was about zero this morning, and we're about to begin lambing, so I wanted to make sure we didn't have any lambs frozen to the ground. Because the temperature's outside and it was pretty windy last night when I finally came in. But I was up early listening to Nehemiah Gordon and some of his ideas about the Hebrew language and about early manuscripts. He worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls. He's Jewish, but he talks in a lot of Christian churches because he believes that there's a commonality. I don't know that he's a Messianic Jew or anything, but he's trying to get to the truth about the Hebrew language. And there are people who want me to contact him and talk to him because I have kind of an opinion about what the Hebrew says. And now he studied it, you know, Hebrew. Certainly, I mean, he can just pick up the Hebrew Bible and he reads it, but he reads it according to what he's been taught Hebrew words mean. And in some ways, he has a great deal more knowledge about Hebrew than I do. But I didn't start this ministry based on my knowledge that I got from the Bible. I went and studied the Bible, studied the Greek mostly, studied Latin, and looked at the Hebrew. But really, I certainly was no Hebrew scholar. I didn't really begin to understand the Bible, though, until I was checking on sheep. And I have no idea where I was going to go when I was going to talk this morning. And I actually make it usually a point. I might take some notes if we're on a particular topic and go through those notes. And, of course, we have a study call on Tuesday evenings where we go over the Free Church Report, which is the view that has been given me about what the church was. And it's really kind of amazing that people have this view of the church, but it's based on what they're taught as they grow up and what they hear and what they read about it and what they find on Google or whatever. They have lots of different sources, but I had those sources too, a lot of those different sources, going to seminaries and churches. And, you know, I was a Carmelite, right? Church is where I grew up. But eventually, you know, the church is pretty much the Roman church is the Catholic church is really the Roman rite. And the prayers are actually different in the two. They are different. Carmelites were one of the last religious orders to bow to the will of the Pope because there was a huge period there that where there were religious groups, religious sects or communities all over Europe and beyond for 1,000 years. And most of them had nothing to do with Rome and what we know today as the Roman Church. Now, the Roman Church has claimed Christendom and all these orders that existed, but the different monks that were in the different areas of Europe. And those monks were the church, from the point of view of a lot of the people. And most of those monks were married and had families and lived in farming communities. Some of them built monasteries and, you know, walled, really were kind of a walled-in center in a village or in a farming area. And people retreated in there in the time when people were invading and killing and robbing and murdering and raping. And so they would have this wall around them. Also, there were certain plants that they grew that they didn't want deer and everything else eating up. Some of them were actually toxic, but they were doing this because they were a great deal involved with medicine. They were a great deal involved with things like making paper and writing manuscripts and keeping records. But they were also into exploration. Some of them supposedly came all the way here to America. This is all before 1000 BC. They were getting around everywhere, these monks. And like I said, most of them were married. But around 900 AD or so, this celibate church, which was the Roman church, and a lot of the Roman church priests were married at one time too. And even popes had children and everything. I always remember that now I was raised Catholic, and I'm not picking on Catholics. The fact is, I believe almost every single religion out there has elements of deception in them because they have been misled by scholars and preachers and pastors and what have you. And many of them were simply repeating the things that they were misled about. And there's this huge confusion as to really what was going on. And so, how did I get to the point where I'm challenging so many different religious ideas and religious philosophies and religious theologies and eschatologies, and even the language itself, is not because I am a scholar that has studied the Bible all my life, although I have, but because I realized I could not figure it out. I did not know what the truth was. I knew there was something that I was missing. And so I knew it, but I didn't admit it for a long time. I just kept trying harder and harder to find the truth. And I eventually ended up out here in the desert and was raising sheep. And one night I was kind of overwhelmed by this feeling that I wasn't getting something right, that something was wrong, that I needed to look at things differently. And so I tell the story. I was checking on sheep, and I knelt down and said, "I don't get it. I can't figure this out." And that is, and I've said this many times, but that is one of the most important things. If you want to figure things out, is to realize you can't do it. You can't figure out the truth. You can't know God on your own. Your intellect is not how you find God, by studying. So why do I do all this studying still? Why do I write all this stuff down? Why do I put out all these books and articles on the Bible and what words really mean? Is because you don't know that yet. You don't know, many of you do not know yet, that you can't figure it out. I don't give you this information so you can figure it out. I give this information to you so that you realize you were unable to figure it out, and that you were easily deceived, and that you were misled, so that you go down on your knees and say, "Oh, I can't figure this out. I don't know." There's a whole story in Matthew 16. There's actually a couple stories in Matthew 16, but there's at least one in there where Jesus is asking the apostles, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?" He's asking them, and they're all trying to say, "Well, some say you are this, and some say you are that," and they can't quite figure it out. But Simon Peter, who they're referring to as Simon Peter, but he isn't called Simon Peter at that time in the Bible. But then again, the Bible is written later explaining and identifying Simon Peter, and said, "Thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God." Well, this is Matthew 16. They've been talking about him being Christ all the way from the beginning, but not with each other, just in the book that was written long afterwards, that they didn't know he was the Christ. John the Baptist didn't know he was the Christ when he said, "One comes after me whose sandals I am not worthy to loose." In other words, I'm not worthy to even wash his feet. That's how much John the Baptist thought of Jesus, Yeshua. But he didn't know he was the Christ. He didn't know he was the Messiah. He didn't know he was the highest son of David, that he was the rightful king of Jerusalem. He just knew he was really, 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 really good guy and his best favorite cousin and his older cousin. And he wanted him to take over his ministry to come after him and do what he was doing, which was baptizing people and telling them to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't know he was the Christ. And we know that because later on he sends messengers to say, "Are you the one?" And Jesus doesn't even tell him. He says, "Well, go tell him what you see me do." You know, he didn't tell him who he was. Why didn't he just tell him? Then he would know, right? Because he was told. Because that's not how it works. That's not how you know God. You don't know God because somebody told you. You don't know God because you read it in a book. You don't know God because you can translate Hebrew. You know God because you repent. You think differently. You are no longer going to eat of the tree of knowledge to know God. You're going to eat of the tree of life to know God. You're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. This is why, that's what eating of the tree of life is listening to the Holy Spirit. And if you won't do that, then you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit because you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is kind of like radio waves. You know, they're all around you. Did you know radio waves are passing right through you now? They're going from one ear and out the other. And you don't even know it because you don't have any way of receiving those radio waves. But if you had a radio and you put the radio here on the table and you turned it on and then you turn that dial and try to turn it to a certain frequency, all of a sudden, hey, you hear a guy talking in the box because you're now getting reception. Because the radio is receiving the transmission from somewhere else and then converting it into sounds that you can understand. Well, inside you, inside that body, that temple of the Holy Spirit, you have a way of hearing the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit guide you and tell you what's true and what's not true. And almost everybody has tuned in now and then. Some of you get a lot of static a lot of the time. Some of you get little words here and there, you know. And kind of like that Monty Python movie where somebody is up there listening to the Sermon on the Mount. And they can't quite hear him. Somebody says, "What did he say? What did he say? He says, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." And the guy said, "Well, blessed are the cheesemakers. That doesn't make any sense. What's he talking about?" And he says, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." And so somebody, very intellectual fellow, steps forward and says, "Well, he doesn't mean blessed are the cheesemakers. He's talking about all manufacturers of dairy products." So anyway, this is how religions are born. That somebody misunderstands one verse and then they start expounding on their misunderstanding, but they sound like they know what they're talking about and everybody starts listening to them. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to God. I want you to tune into the Holy Spirit. And so this is a new day that we started here. It was very, very cold last night, but it's warming up already. The sun is out. And we're going to start learning how to tune in our own inner radios so that we can hear the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going over the next 300 shows. We got about 300 or 400 shows out there already explaining, and we touch on this even in some of those, explaining where you have been deceived. And you have been deceived not because there are deceivers out there, but because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because you're looking outside of yourself for an answer. And because you're looking outside of yourself, you look to things like teachers, scholars, ministers, pastors, men in white coats to give you health, men in suits and ties to govern you, men in black robes to judge you. You look to governments to fix things. You look to Bibles to give you answers. The answer doesn't come that way. That Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was the only one who got the answer to the question. And Jesus doesn't even explain to him that, you know, "That's right, Peter, you got it. Now, how'd you get that? Did you study that in the Torah?" Because they really didn't understand all the prophecies. And we know that later on they explain that, you know, Jesus has to explain to them all the prophecies that were in the Old Testament that was telling of his coming. They didn't know that. They didn't understand it. Now, there'd been a lot of people talking about that. There'd been a lot of people writing about that. And they knew about some of them, but they didn't really put it together yet. So they didn't know because they studied the Bible. Peter didn't know because he said it. The others didn't know. So how did Peter know this? And Jesus tells you right in the next verse. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Bar means son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." What's flesh and blood? Well, when you hear my voice, that's flesh and blood speaking. But if you hear Christ in me, that's that radio waves that aren't traveling over the radio here, but traveling over a spiritual dimensional, interdimensional radio. And it's coming into you because I'm listening to the same station that I'm trying to get you to turn into, which is the Holy Spirit. And Peter had turned into that. He wasn't hearing and knowing what he knew because flesh and blood, because he had read it in a book that some flesh and blood man wrote down, because he heard it from some mouth of a flesh and blood man, because he calculated it out in the calculating cybernetic brain that was on the top of his head. He didn't figure it out. It was not flesh and blood that revealed it unto him. But Jesus says, "But my Father, which is in heaven," which is in this other extra-dimensional place we call heaven. And he says, "And I say unto thee that thou art a rock." Peter is the way they translate it. But it's actually a little rock. "Upon this rock." And is it "thou art a rock" or "this is a rock"? Is what's he actually saying? This knowing, not by flesh and blood, is the rock. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now he's talking to everybody there. He's not just saying, "Peter, I'm going to give it to you." He's just saying, "I'm going to give you right now the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And these are what he gave them. "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So this is the keys. This is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So what do you bind on earth and what do you loose on earth? Do you bind your neighbor? Do you bind your neighbor with men who exercise authority one over the other so that you can get benefits for free? Stuff for free, free education, free health care, free social security, free, at the expense of your neighbor? Or do you loose your neighbor and say, "No, I don't want to be a burden to my neighbor"? And see, that's one of the things that has come across in my life over and over again, is that I realize that I was listening to the Holy Spirit all along. I mean, not all the time. If I was, I'd be a lot farther along on my walk than I am today. But at least I was beginning to understand how the kingdom of God works, because I see kingdom tracks in my own life. And I see them in a lot of other people's lives too. They don't really have the whole picture, but they have pieces of the puzzle. And the reality is, in the kingdom, every one of you is a piece of the puzzle. You're a little piece of the puzzle. I saw somebody, I'm going to probably try to write them if I get some time, because they were sharing a newsletter that we just sent out. We did a class on the Hasmonean whoredom, and we put that up so that everybody could go and take a look at that particular message that it is about the Hasmoneans and how they got into trouble, and this prepared Israel for the Messiah, but it actually did it by preparing Israel for the need of a Messiah because it got them more and more and more in trouble. Because the whole thing, when the people wanted to have a king, they wanted to have a ruler, a president, prime minister, a chief executive officer, a commander in chief to fight their battles for them, instead of do it like God wanted you to do from the days of Enoch and Abraham and Moses and Jesus Christ. They wanted to do this other thing like all the other nations. God said, go ahead and give it to him. And he's going to take and take and take and take and take and take. And they're going to cry out, and I'm not going to hear them until they do something, which is realize they can't fix it. They can't figure it out. They can't elect a man to fix it. They can't elect a man to make their nation great again. They have to repent and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what they have to do. They can't do it any other way. So anyway, we did that course, and we put it out a couple days ago. Actually, I just put it out yesterday for the Kingdom newsletter. And we've got about 257 people who have gone to that page. Many of them have listened to the audio, I assume, because they're at the top. And there's probably 100 links over there on the side, or pretty close to it. I mean, there's a lot of links over on the side that go from, you know, take a look at our article on Section 666 of Title 42, Social Security, Mark of the Beast, warnings from Peter, Paul, and James, the baptism of fire, the baptism of Herod, Constantine, Ambrose, what are the weightier matters, all these articles on what is worship. What did Christ command his disciples to do? But what was he doing when he was talking about this idea of building his church? The word church there is ecclesia, called out. Well, there was a church in the wilderness in the Old Testament, and that was the Levites who were called out. They were the ecclesia in the Old Testament, and this was the new ecclesia that Christ was calling out, Christ being the Messiah, Christ being the highest son of David, Christ being the king of Judea, was calling out and sending to the Israelites all over, but actually sending out to the whole world, which is nothing different than Moses was doing, because Moses was calling the Levites out to go back into the walled-in camp and set the people free. And exactly the image that we have of what that looked like is probably all wrong. But he went back to set, they went back in there to set people free so that they could become Israel, this nation, this peculiar people, this nation of God, so that they could be priests to all nations. Well, now I just used another word, priest. What does the word priest mean? You need another link to an article to see you can understand what priest means, because you have layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of misinformation. Just the word religion. People don't know what it means. It means something at this time in history and something at that time in history. And at almost every time in history, religion could mean two different things. Two completely distinct different things. And that's the way the whole Hebrew language is. So how could you figure anything out? You can't. But through revelation, if you turn into the Holy Spirit, you can figure things out. You can figure out what is true and what is not true. You see, what I was always hearing the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't speak to you in words, like, you know, voices. It speaks to you in your heart and in your mind before you make up the words. Before, I mean, you're dragging the revelations of the Holy Spirit over to the tree of knowledge and trying to figure out what those revelations mean. And that's where most of modern religion, this modern definition of religion, comes from. Because really, religion isn't what you think about God. So you don't want to take the revelations of the Holy Spirit and drag them over to the tree of knowledge. Because now people will read things and they'll say, oh my goodness, Brother Gregory understands this, or Brother Gregory understands that. But, and so now I read it, and so now I understand it. But you just took what I said, the words, the flesh and blood words that I said, and you dragged it over into the tree of knowledge. And then you interpreted it in your brain. Now the fact is the tree of knowledge is there. It's put there for a reason. You're just not supposed to eat of it. You're supposed to be eating of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your guide. And you don't want to twist what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you into something that he's not trying to tell you. And we do that. Translators do that. Theologians do that. Everybody does that. And so you have to be at peace with the Holy Spirit and walk with it in everything that you do. So that's where we're going to start taking people, or trying to take people, to so that they can tune in to the Holy Spirit, so that they can understand the truth when they see it, not twist it, not interpret it, not build some, you know, that's the first thing that Peter and them wanted to do when they saw Moses and Jesus in the place. They wanted to build something. No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're the temple. Let God build himself in you. And so that's where we're going to take you. That's where we want to go. And the fact is, I'm not going to drag you there. You're going to have to do your own walking. And so until you decide to go there, till you repent, till you let God show you how to think differently, and then start seeking that kingdom, I just wish peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.